The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
Clayton, it was a special place to me. I mean, I told everyone, I said, you create a bond with these kids. These kids are different. The families are awesome, and it's unbelievable, and it's like the community is great. So, because people can ask, why didn't you go here? Why didn't you? I'm like, but I always looked at it as like, this is kind of like where my home is. I'm comfortable here, and, you know, there's a lot of great things happening, and I enjoyed what I was doing.
And our guest this week is Dan Antonelli. He just retired after decades at Clayton High School, more than three decades. He was the athletic director, former wrestling coach, former soccer coach, pretty much did it all at one of the smallest school districts in New Jersey, but had a ton of success. Dan, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
So, mentioned retired. So, as we're recording this, I guess about a week ago, you finally packed up your shingle.
Yeah, almost all packed up. My official day is like in September 1, so I'm in and out a little bit in the summer. It's actually at work this morning before I came here, trying to get some things squared away for next fall. So get the next guy a little head start, you know, get him going, and get things ordered for him to get that stuff going.
Why was this the right time to call it a career?
I've been back and forth. You know, I hit the magical age, you know, last December of 55, but and I enjoyed so much, and I never looked at it as a job. I'm not going to lie. I never said I'm going to work because I'm going to school. You know, it's like so. And for all those years, but I think it came to a point where, you know, I got to a point where there's been a change at the school, a little bit of changes. You know, people have been retiring and moving on too. And, you know, things have been a little bit different per se. And I just looked at it as a time to kind of like the next chapter of my life, start something different. I missed some things that I did earlier that I wasn't able to do now that – hopefully, I'm going to be able to have some free time to do some things.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question. Do you have anything specifically on the agenda? Like, do you have things you want to keep your hand in going forward, or is it just going to be a clean break and a whole new frontier?
I think it's going to be a clean break, I think, from Clayton. You know, I'm always going to be attached to the wrestling program there. I got a former kid that I coached, came through the program. I coached him at the high school level, then I coached him at the collegiate level, and now he's running the program. So I'm always going to be there to help him. He'll be in his second year taking over the program, and that's always been, you know, kind of close to me and starting the youth program up and, you know, trying to get that going years ago with all the great people in town, with the Tunstalls and Wares and Trekkers and all that stuff. So that's always been dear to my heart, you know, so the program, but I'll be helping out. But I got my officiating license last year for wrestling. So I started doing some officiating on Sundays and doing that stuff. So I'm going to stay in the sport that way. Couple offers to come back to coaching. I don't know if the body holds up as much as I want it to, because I'm kind of like on the mat coach and not on the side coach, and so I don't know if I can do it the way I want to do it.
I mentioned 32 years at Clayton. I'm curious, I don't know if anybody thinks that way, but when you came on board, what was that 95?
Yes, 94, 95, my first year. Yeah.
Did you look at it as a place that you were going to be long-term, maybe not to retirement, but, you know, if you take me back to 1994, 1995, was it a place you thought I could be here for a while? Or at that time in your life, was it just, this is what I'll do now and we'll see what's next?
Yeah, I mean, I was directly out of University of Delaware College. I was actually working in the union with my dad doing bricklaying and stuff. I worked with him all summers, and I got into the union because I didn't have a job. You know, Clayton called. I put in resumes everywhere. There weren't many phys ed positions back in those days at that time. And, you know, they called. I put in a resume. Got an interview, and then got a second interview. And out of nowhere, you know, offered me the job, you know, not even knowing. I'll be honest. I grew up 10 minutes down the road from Clayton. I wasn't probably there at that high school ever in my high school careers because the sports that I participated in over at Delsey, they didn't have it, Clayton. So I was never really there. So that was my first time, not knowing much about it, but I was excited. Went to school to be an educator, went to educate, want to be, you know, make a difference, try to make a difference in kids' lives. And, you know, I emulated kind of my high school coach, who was kind of my role model, that kind of stuff. And I really wanted to coach and give back. So that was my passion. So I figured I had an opportunity. You know, they offered me the phys ed position, then also said, you know, wrestling's available right away. Like me take over the program. So it's at that point in time, I was just kind of full head of steam ahead and just see what happens and see where it goes from there. You know, not knowing that here I'd be 32 years later sitting here talking about kind of what has transpired through all those years.
We mentioned you're only a week or so removed from the end of the school year and you're still doing stuff this summer to kind of set the table for the next AD. Does it feel real yet? I know there have been some, and we'll talk about it, just some wonderful things they did for you. I saw you with the golf cart parade, yes, with all the kids and stuff like that. But does it feel real, or does it kind of, can you kind of convince yourself this is just another summer like any other summer at this point?
I think I'm convincing myself right now this is a summer like any other summer. I mean, I've already been in there at the graduation more than I usually am when I'm not being retired, you know. So I think it'll be September will be the time that'll hit. You know, I think that'll really hit hard, like, hey, here I am. But again, I plan to keep myself busy. I had an offer from another school district already to come in as their interim athletic director and start right away in September. But I think I'd like to take a couple months off first, I told them. And it was a great opportunity. But, yeah, I think right now I'm doing some other things. You know, I've been working 7 days a week, you know, for years. So, you know, I do merchandise stuff on the side. I do driver's ed programs. And coaching. And so I want to get back into, again, I missed the coaching part. So I think that's something that, you know, once that hits, that's something that'll help fill my time.
I mentioned when you started at Clayton, if you looked at it as a place that you could be long term. I'm curious, at what point along your 32 years did you look at it and go, okay, this is going to be home? Or was it not a conscious decision? Is it just 1 year leads into the next, one role led to another, and you kind of look around and go, oh my God, I've been here 25 years. Like, how did it kind of work with you?
So, a little recap. So my first 7 years as phys ed teacher there and coaching, coaching a boys soccer program, took over in year two and wrestling. I had six different athletic directors. So there was not much and the programs, I mean, you're a Clayton grad, the programs there were, numbers were down in a lot of the programs. There was not the fields were a mess. I mean, I will say the district, you know, they didn't take much pride. I got my uniforms for my soccer team, my first year coaching them, and I only had 15 kids out on the team I recruited. And we had three different uniforms we're putting on the field for a varsity team. And I was like, this is not happening. No, I'm like, no, this is not how you do things. First of all, these kids, you got to take pride in this stuff for these kids. You got to give them something to take pride in. So, you know, starting that and then just 1 year kept leading into another year, led into another year, just kept, you know, building the programs, just having fun with them. Then the town and community, we moved into the town. So I lived in town for 10 years, you know, and the town and community were unbelievably great. You know, they had the back with the programs. I start with the youth programs, and there's no success at the high school level if you don't get success, you know, youth programs to buy in, and you've got to put the time in there. But then the years just kept going and going, and it kept going and adding up and adding up. And there were offers. There were things on the tables from other school districts at the time. There were, you know, a couple different, you know, I had a couple job offers, chance to go back home at one point in time, you know, to, you know, where I grew up. And, you know, but I will say that Clayton it was a special place to me. I mean, I told everyone, I said, you create a bond with these kids. These kids are different. They, you know, and the families are awesome, and it's unbelievable. And it's like the community is great. So, because people can ask, why didn't you go here? Why didn't you? I'm like, and the money was more in many different occasions. But I always looked at it as like, this is kind of like where my home is. I'm comfortable here. And, you know, there's a lot of great things happening. And I enjoyed what I was doing.
And it is a small district. You mentioned I graduated from there in 92. And throughout high school, if I'm remembering correctly, we were the smallest public school district or the second smallest, depending upon the entering class with another school. It might have been Riverside for some
reason.
That sticks in my head.
Yeah.
How does it being that small add to that closeness? Because there's a good chance if a kid's playing one of the sports for you, you've got them for a classroom situation, you've got them as a coach, and you probably pass them three times a day in the hallway, or you're on lunch duty, you see them in the cafeteria. Like, it's so small that it just breeds this connection that I don't think is possible at bigger schools where you might have more resources, but it's easy for them to just become a number and a name.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the one thing I think. I call it the land of opportunity. That's what I tell kids every year, and especially like the sixth graders coming in and then the freshman class coming in from the middle school, which is attached to the school. We're talking, they move a hallway over, you know, so it's like, but I tell them it's a land of opportunity. I say take advantage of everything to get involved in. I mean, I probably in the last 15 years – probably know 99% of the kids first and last names that graduate and know almost everything and anything about them. I look at it as an advantage where you get to know the kids. I think you're able to have a little more of an impact with the kids. I mean, I got kids texting me from 20 years ago, 25 years that graduated. Kids have been in programs, you know, send me a picture of how the family, send me things. I mean, I'm in contact with, you know, we had a graduate, this kid, Nicky Rodriguez, who's one of the, actually was number one in the world in jiu-jitsu fighting. He was on like ranked number one and won a $1 million tournament and sends me a picture of the $1 million check. He goes, "Coach, look, I did it and I won it with the same outside single that we worked on every day in the summer for 4 years." You know, so it's stuff like that, that like, you know, those bonds that you make with these families and these kids. And like I said, like, and it's, again, it is a special community. And you know, sometimes being there, there's a needy part of the community too. There's some kids who have overcome a lot. You know, there's a lot of stories there with these kids of how they overcome a lot of different things to be huge successes in life down the road.
You were so young when you started, and now you're retiring. I am curious, because I remember when I started here at the radio station, I've said this a couple times on the podcast, I was like one of the youngest people. And I used to take joy in rubbing that in people's faces. Like they would mention some news event they covered and I'd be like, "Oh, I remember I was in fourth grade," you know, really obnoxious stuff like that. I'm curious, when along the line did you realize you had gone from the young upstart to a piece of the fabric that all of a sudden, maybe the first time somebody who you taught your first year, their kids coming through. Yes, like, that, do you remember when that, you kind of crossed over into that, one of the old guys?
Listen, I had a guy, Scott Weisburn. Scott, who still lives in town. Dad's a legend in town, Larry Weisburn, big in the community and stuff. And so I coached and taught Scott and wrestled my first couple of years there. And then here I am. His kids are all coming through, you know, coaching him, working with them and seeing them. And now they're most all graduate. There's one left. So it's like, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, all right, now I'm coaching kids, you know, people that I've coached and now I'm coaching their kids, or, you know, teaching her because they're having them in school. So at that point, I'm like, okay, I've been here a while. You know, I look around and some of these teachers that they're hiring, you know, and when I see their birth dates, I'm like, "You were born what year?" I think that start at that point in time started to hit me. But I'm always on the move, you know. So I think, you know, I'm always involved doing stuff. I was the athletic director there and the only assistant principal there at the high school for many years. And then I took care of all the clubs and activities and all the middle school stuff. And I added all our middle school programs. I mean, so you know, just gave myself more to do, but it's, you know, it was a joy to do it. And so I was just so busy. Time just kept going and going. You know, the one thing that when I was there and doing all that, you know, having my own kids was a tough time to balance stuff, you know, and starting, you know, when my kids are growing up, and they're playing with some of the kids from Clayton because my son was an athlete and played soccer with both of them. We had a crossover and he was actually, I tried to get him there, but his girlfriend wouldn't leave. But, but he did real well over at Del Cerro as an athlete, but he played with a lot of those kids. And then I was coaching those kids. And now one of those kids is actually coaching for me and teaching. I got him to teach at the school and he's coaching and he's going to be, I told him, "You're the next lifer here." I said, "You can be the next person to come in, stay here, build this programs up like you have." I said, "You've got the right side," that kind of stuff. So that's kind of neat to see. But yeah, at that point, I was realizing, okay, I've been here quite a while.
So let's talk growing up. I know wrestling, you eventually went to Delaware and you wrestled, and we'll get to that. But was wrestling your big sport as a kid, or were you just doing whatever was happening?
So it was soccer and wrestling. You know, then wrestling, I started seeing some success and really enjoyed that, like the eighth grade year, I guess, in middle school. I didn't start till sixth grade. So it's not like I did everything my whole life, you know. It was like, so I was a late bloomer, really started, but I love the competition part of the sport. I love how it challenges you on and off the mat, challenges you things to push yourself, you know, overcome adversity. So I think I really took to that and saw some success in it and took off with that. And then it was really big at Delcy during that time. We had a couple all the parents there, the Daly's, Marquesas, they kind of, the Daly's took me under their wing, kind of took care of me, you know, helped pay for like club stuff for me, that kind of stuff. Cause I mean, we were, you know, we didn't have much when I, me, my, it was, I had three brothers and we didn't have much at all. It was us three. And, so they kind of took us under the wing and they had that family feel there too. And that's the kind of family feel I wanted to bring to Clayton. Cause that's what I knew. That's what I grew up in. You know, so wrestling was the sport that I loved dearly. Yeah.
When did you realize that it was something that you could use as a vehicle to take you for? When did it become more than just something you loved to do?
I don't know if it ever really did. I mean, I was good, but I never got to that next level, you know, at the sport, you know, but I worked my tail off constantly and, you know, was able to work and get down to the University of Delaware. And believe it or not, they dropped the program down there. So, you know, but I ended up just staying and finishing my thing because I got a chance to coach my youngest brother at a school down there because my mom had moved down to Delaware. So I got a chance to coach him for 2 years and that was special. And I learned a lot during that time. But I don't think I ever really learned, like, thought, like, wrestling was my ticket and that's my life, that kind of stuff. I wanted to coach it because I loved it, but I wanted to, like, kind of work with kids. I think, again, it comes back to Steve Isles, you know, my role model over at Delsey. This guy was just a different coach, you know, just a different person. And, you know, just took me under his wing, took care of me, looked after me, that kind of stuff. And, you know, he did it for a lot of kids over there. But I think that's kind of what I want to emulate and give back.
You mentioned they dropped the program at Delaware. What was that like? Because, I mean, at that point in your life, when wrestling's such a big part of it, to have that yanked out, that's got to be something.
It was tough. I mean, because I went there, I transferred in and talked to Coach Billy and here I am going to wrestle. And then I'm like, I didn't even get a chance to step on the mat with them. Like, they pulled it right under the thing, you know, from under their feet. And we went to a club team, so I got an opportunity to still wrestle and compete. But I think I also, at that point in time, like I said, I mean, you know, I was an above average wrestler, but I wasn't winning any NCAA tournaments or anything anytime soon. But I loved the sport. But then the opportunity came up right away because I went to my brother's like summer workouts because I had him wrestling, of course, had him wrestling all over. And then he just transferred in and I met the coach there and the coach said, I'd love to have you on board. And so I was still able to be involved with it. You know, I couldn't compete at the level, but I think also I was at the point where I was ready to, I think, turn that page in my chapter two to get ready and finish my degree and be able to get in the coaching realm and get back this way.
Yeah, that's kind of my next question. Like that can be very difficult. And for a lot of people, that can be life altering, having that opportunity taken away. But it sounds like that opportunity to coach, you kind of were able to close that door on your terms and be at peace with it.
Yeah, definitely. I was able to, I think, because I was able to still be involved with the sport in a fashion that I wanted. And I saw like this really was my future in it. And, you know, my future wasn't like competing after college, competing at different levels. I wasn't that quality kind of wrestler, you know? So I knew where I was. I was grounded. My mom always had it grounded. And I also knew I had to start my career soon and try to make some money and try to get a degree and finish it out. But also that really, I think it filled that void. And I learned a lot because I wanted, that was my goal in life. My goals in life were to coach, to come back, build a program, start a program, come back to my alma mater really was my goal and coach there. That was my goals, you know, so my goals really didn't change per se. You know, that's where they still were, you know, in the, like wrestling competition wise, I had realistic goals, you know, just to compete, be a part of, you know, try to, you know, wrestle at that level. But my ultimate goals were the coaching goals and get involved with student athletes.
We need to take a break. We will have more with Dan Antonelli in just a few moments. But right now, I want to tell you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers, proud sponsor of the KYW News Radio Studios. Bring on the fun and bring home a new Honda with a great deal on your favorite Honda vehicles. And finally, take that road trip you've been dreaming of. Now's the time to check out the Honda Civic and HR from Honda, the 2025 Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com best value brand. Now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with Dan Antonelli, who just retired as athletic director at Clayton High School in Gloucester County down in South Jersey. As a wrestler, what were your strengths? Like if somebody was scouting you, what was at the top of the list?
Oh, definitely good on my feet. I was very, yeah. My first move on top was let guys up. So it was feet wrestling was definitely where I was my bread and butter. So on the mat, yeah, forget it.
So you mentioned how quickly you got the job at Clayton right out of college, basically. And
when you start with the wrestling program, it wasn't really a program, right? It was like a kind of a club of a handful of kids. Am I right?
Yeah, there were, I think, four kids that wrestled the year before and competed here and there. Like, they had like four matches, kind of matches. I mean, this is my first day of practice. I mean, we wrestled in the we didn't have room. We were in the cafeteria. I had to put the tables up, put the chairs up. We had to move the thing. I'm like, and we had to roll the mats down. I mean, it took 45 minutes to set up the practice room. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. And then my first day, like, I mean, being a phys ed teacher was great. So I was able to challenge the kids, try to get some kids out. And I had about 16 kids come out day one. So, I mean, I think to me, that's a win. Here we go. All right, I got 16 kids. Two kids wrestled before. And when I said they wrestled before, really didn't know much about the sport. But I had some kids trying to push each other out of the circle as it like sumo wrestling and win it. First time, like, what are you guys doing? But from that day on, just I said, okay, this is may not have signed up for this. I said, you know, starting from square one. But you know what? Why not? You know, these kids are here. They gave me everything they had. And they came back day two. They came back day three. And I approached it as, like, you know, we're going to practice like a high-level program. I asked for a lot of them. You know, I pushed them, and they gave me everything back. You know, were they talented wrestling-wise? No, but they had a lot of grit and a lot of toughness to them. So the program kind of was built off of that.
And you had a ton of success over the years. At what point do you feel like specifically – as the wrestling coach at Clayton, that the program really became something that could compete on any front?
I kind of laid out a plan for myself. I gave myself 4 years. I said, you know, you got a 4-year process, because the good thing, the nice thing about Clayton with the middle school being with the high school, I taught all the middle school kids too. So right away, year two, I started the middle school wrestling team, because without a middle school wrestling team, forget it, we're not going to be successful. You know, so then we had some athletes, you know, and so when I had some kids who knew about the sport, I had a clinic over at the elementary school for a couple of days in late June before they closed. And I had like 80 kids coming to that. I'm like, oh, look at this. I said, just because people didn't know, they didn't know what it was. They'd never seen it, you know, wasn't around in the community. But some kids had wrestled for other programs, towns for a year or two or something like that and came back. And so at that point in time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give myself 4 years and see where we're at. But that first year of middle school, that seventh grade class, I remember those kids. I'd say friends with a lot of them. Greg Koss is one of them, and Dustin Burke and Jeff Franklin. The guys are all local. I mean, that class, those kids, they were a special group of athletes, and you could see it. And they worked their tail off, and they worked hard, and they got them all out wrestling on the mat, and they all loved the wrestling part, and they all played soccer too. And at that point in time, I said, listen, I changed it to like a 3-year, 4-year thing. So by those kids' fifth year, so their junior and senior year, so you figured out it was 4 years of wrestling. By that fifth year, I mean, we're competing to go to the Group 1 finals. And those kids just all balled into it. And, you know, it was really – I didn't think it would turn around that quick. But we had the youth program got started. Bob Tunstall, Scott Ware, Mark Trechner, Mr. Cliver, all these names, they were all in. You know, I remember because Mr. Tunstall wrestled at Clayton. He was one of the Clayton success stories back in the day. He don't like to say it, but he was a state qualifier at Clayton High School. Him and Fideco, there was a couple of guys. They were really good. Didn't have many kids, but they had they were really good back then. So he came to one of my practices. It was a Saturday practice, I remember. It was like year four, year five. He just walked in. He's like, Mr. Tunstall, big guy. He's about 6'7", 6'5", big guy come in. Bird grow. I'm like, I look up, I'm rolling around with kids, teaching things. I'm like, uh-oh, what's this guy doing? I mean, I'm like, you know, by myself on a Saturday morning, I got 20 kids in the program. We're all there. They're there at 8 a.m. workout. So he walks in, he just sits on the wall. And then I go up to him and introduce myself. I say, hey, how you doing? You know, Danny and Tiger. He goes, yeah, I know who you are, he said. He goes, I'm just keen to see what's going on here, he said, because my boys, and he had, you know, boys Josh and Bobby, he goes, you know, they were wrestling over at the Delsey wrestling program during that time. And he goes, we live in Clayton. And he goes, and my boys are over there. But, you know, I just wanted to see if this is for real or not, whether I'm staying. He goes, I like everything I see. He goes, I'm staying. He goes, and I heard about this youth program. He goes, I'm in. He goes, you got 20 kids here on a Saturday morning, 8 a.m.? Because I haven't seen that in Clayton in 20 years. He goes, this is great. So I remember that point in time there. It's like, and, you know, so the kids just kept working. But I think we were ahead of schedule. I think it was our fifth year, my fifth or sixth year coaching. We won a division, and we were in the South Jersey Group 1 Finals against Paulsburg, which I mean, you're in there against Paulsboro. They were the best team in the state. They were number one team in the state back then for years, you know. And so we lost to them in the finals. They won it again, the state tournament. We were the second best team in the state in Group 1 on many occasions, you know. And Paulsboro, Paul Marino would tell me, he goes, it's a shame you're in Group 1, you know, or we're down here with you. You would have won a couple sectional titles.
All the years you coached wrestling, you talk about that success. Like, what do you consider your biggest accomplishment from strictly the wrestling coach standpoint at Clayton?
I don't look at it. I mean, I always tell kids this. When I coached at college, I went over to RCSJ for five years and coached there, and I always focused on the kids. I tell them, we're not worried about the product. You can't control the product. You know, the product's wins and losses. I always said, the process is what you can control. So you can control when you walk into that practice room. Until you leave, you can control your effort, what you do, how you handle things, how you work at things. How do you get better that day? I said, the product's going to happen. It is what it is. But the product can change if you change your process. You know, but I never – so the wins and losses, listen, it's always nice to win. It's always nice to have, you know, programs, quality programs. It's always nice to be competitive. I just think, you know, one of the biggest things was just bringing the community together. I remember the Elks Lodge in town when we made it to the Group 1 Finals that first year, like – that whole community, they want to do something nice. They put on a huge banquet for the kids. They invited – Paul Marino was there, the coach of Paulsboro at the time who beat us in the finals, my old role model coach. And, like, the whole community was almost out there. It was like – I was like, wow. I'm like, look at this. I'm like, we didn't win. I said, we lost. I said, just think what happened. We would have won. I said, but I think that was – at that point in time, too, I was like, wow. I've kind of realized, like – what this program is doing with the town, the community, how they get behind and everything, and also with the youth program. I think that point in time, I think that's what I look at it as like an accomplishment, and these kids having these life experiences, you know, just getting them to experience this and understand that, hey, you can push yourself a little harder in life to achieve things down the road.
When did athletic director, was that something that you figured at a certain point I would really be interested in, or is it something that the door opens and you're already waist deep with soccer, with wrestling, you know all the kids, it almost maybe felt like a natural next step?
Yeah, it was something I wanted to do as I, you know, like I said, I had six AD athletic directors in 7 years, and the next one was leaving, and that seventh year, the superintendent of schools came up to me and sat me down, and I was teaching phys ed. I mean, and I was young. I mean, I was only like 29 still at that time, I think. You know, so she said to me, she goes, well, you're the only one staying. She goes, your programs are doing well. You know, you're building things up. She goes, we want to offer you this position. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't have any credits. I'm not on my master's. I can't do this. And then she said, well, we'll pay for your school, all of your schooling. You know, you can take it as quick as you can, and we're going to give you a title as athletic coordinator. So I thought it was early. I went home and talked to my wife. You know, we were at a point in time where the kids were just being born, just starting family. And it was something I wanted to do, but I didn't think that early. But then, you know, we talked, and I talked to a couple of my coaches who I was coaching with during the time. Steve Everett was football coach. Him and I talked a lot, and I talked to him about the opportunity. He said, Dan, who knows when's going to come again or leave? He goes, you're the right person for this job at this place. He said, you're not going anywhere. You love it here. I see it every day. He said, just go do it. You know, so my wife was on board, Donna. You know, she said, yep, go, you know, I'll support you, whatever you got to do. So here I am coaching soccer games, leaving soccer games at 6 o'clock, driving to Wilmington, taking a 5-hour course at night in Wilmington, getting home at 11 o'clock, getting back up at 6 a.m., being at school, going to coach soccer games. I was taking 2 courses in the fall, 2 courses in the spring, 3 in the summer, 1 in the winter. It was like just to get it done. But it was something that came on sooner than expected. I'm glad I jumped at the opportunity because I really enjoyed it at, you know, my time here. And I was able, I think, to affect all the programs instead of just the programs that I was involved with. Because we had a lot of great coaches there. I just didn't think they were getting the support they needed. So coaches would leave, you know, and because they weren't getting what they needed otherwise. And they were great coaches. They're just going to other programs. You know, and people like, I remember one day that one of our ADs who was leaving, she brought every coaches in like saying, well, why is Dan the only one with success? I turned to her. I said, I'm the only one here. It's been here longer than 3 years. I said, it takes time. I said, you gotta make it easy for these coaches to stay. You gotta help them out. You gotta support them. I said, that's what this is about. I said, I have no magic pixie dust. I said, the kids are here. Just gotta work on building the programs. So again, a little sooner than expected. I'm glad I jumped into it. I did. The position evolved. You know, then I started doing discipline with it, which I never signed up for. You know, then they got me in the main office running all the activities. And then I'm now doing two grades of discipline. Now I'm doing all four grades of discipline. I'm the only assistant principal there on top of all the athletics and top clubs and activities. So it evolved into a bear of a job. But again, I knew how to, it's what I knew. So I didn't know any difference. I just kept doing it, you know, and did what I had to do to get it done. And I enjoyed it.
When you first take over, even as the coordinator, where you're the athletic director, but not in name, like, what was the thing that surprised you the most? Was there something you had to deal with that maybe you weren't aware, or you were aware of it in theory, but you didn't know how much went into it? Like, was there any aspect of it that was really eye-opening?
Yeah, I think the scheduling aspect of it, you know, it's, especially as I started to add programs, we didn't have any middle school programs at all. Like the six athletic directors in 7 years, they were good people, but they were never there long enough to even add anything. So nothing was being added. It was kind of a status quo thing and trying to build programs to keep coaches. But like, and seeing like, trying to see what can be added, what can we give more opportunities for the kids. That was kind of eye opening and jumping through hoops. I think I'm a lot better. I stayed as a assistant principal and athletic director for years. I had a couple opportunities to be principal in the building there and a couple offers, and I think I work much better with children than I do adults. So, you know, seeing that other side of it, playing the political part of the game is, you know, and there's always that, doing that, what you have to do to get something through. It's a no-brainer in my mind. Hey, I want to add these programs. I need these coaches, that kind of stuff, because kids want to do this. We want to give kids opportunities. And then the other side said, well, why should we do this? Well, I'm like, what do you mean, why? I mean, the kids want to do it. Let's give them opportunities. This is what we're here for. This is our job as educators. But it's like jumping through those hoops. That was like the eye-opening thing. Like people, I guess, not seeing how I see things.
From the scheduling standpoint, because Clayton is so small, does that make it easier or harder to schedule games? Because on your watch, the outsized success a school district the size of Clayton has had on multiple fronts in athletics is really unbelievable to me. But like, how does the scheduling, are people anxious to put you on the schedule? Are people not really excited about it? Or does it matter sport to sport and stuff like that?
I think at first taking over, I think sometimes people were anxious. You know, I actually had both sides. People were anxious because we didn't field the JV numbers. You know, so I had a varsity only team. Or I said I could have a JV maybe. And you ask me, it's harder because I'm counting bodies the day of school to try to get a JV game going, or calling the team, hey, can we play 9-on-9 today? Because we still want to get the game in, because kids don't get any better if they don't play, you know? And then other schools, like, they don't want to cancel JV games because they got an answer to their parents, and their parents saying, you're always canceling games. What's going on? You know, so I think that was part of it. I mean, the phone would ring a lot during a cutoff time when you had to be 500 back in the day in Jersey and to make it. And when it was cutoff days and your team's end looking for games to add right away. Hey, you guys looking for a game? I'm like, why do you want to play my baseball team right now? Let me think about it. I said, but, you know, I think it was building those relationships with all these schools and these athletic directors. And I think within those 4 or 5 years, as the programs kept getting more and more successful and more competitive, you know, and just, and what I said made me respected as a program as a whole. Like, so they didn't just see, like, you know, boys soccer was doing well and girls soccer was starting to upcoming, and, you know, the wrestling program was doing well. They didn't just see that. Like, they said, okay, all these programs, like, our numbers were getting better. The basketball teams were doing better. The, you know, girls and boys, Frank Rago and Tracy Moore were doing unbelievable jobs with them, you know. And a lot of the other programs, the numbers were good and they were still competitive in everything we were doing, you know. So more and more schools would be calling or didn't mind, you know, wanted to schedule us. I think just the respect part of it and, you know, just understand that. And we did things the right way. If we scheduled something, we were there, you know, where sometimes in the past I heard that, like, before they would schedule things and they would call a day off, hey, we're not playing today because we just, our kids don't feel like getting on the bus, like stuff like that. I'm like, what? I said, you canceled a game for what? Because you had enough players, but the kids had to go do this. And so I'm like, no, you know, so that's things that happened in the past that I heard stories of, you know, but I think it got easier as the time went, and just building relationships with the other athletic directors. I knew a lot of them through coaching, you know, so getting a job, I think, made that easier also. I wasn't a new face there, and they knew that, you know, the programs were coming, the kids were working hard, and, you know, they wanted games.
From an athletic director standpoint, with nothing to do with the coaches' personalities or anything like that, purely kind of from a logistic, administrative standpoint, what is the hardest sport to oversee and do right, and why? And like I said, this has nothing to do with who's coaching it, who's playing it. Just strictly because of what the sport requires, what is the hardest one?
So for requirements, I'm going to say football. And football, for even though they only play like 9 or 10 games, it's like, you know, you have your JV games, you have your bus and transportation, you have a lot of different things in place for safety requirements you got to do. You got to make sure you have logs for the kids that they had this many practices with pads on before they put the other pads on before they get a helmet. You know, there's a lot of different safety things with football. Football games are, you know, you could have up to 1,500 people at a stadium one night, and it's always scary. The biggest thing, like, I worry about, I'm not going to lie, it's not really winning or losing a game. It's when the game is over and the stadium's empty and everyone's out of there safe. That's the biggest fear for an athletic director, you know, not having any issues or concerns or having to deal with anything going on or things that may break out. There's been some horror stories in high school athletics throughout the years that, you know, things. So as an athletic director, the safety of like everyone that comes onto your fields, not only the student athletes, but, you know, your coaches and then also the spectators, that's job one. And that's was the biggest thing. And I think that's why I think football is always the scariest for me, just because of the sheer numbers. I mean, well, I don't know. You remember the Glasper playoff game that we hosted when we went to the Group 1 finals. It was Clayton and Glasper. We hosted them. We upset a team. They upset a team. So we were able to host. And we had probably 2,500 people there that night. In that old field, we were 5 or 6 deep on the fence lines. I mean, I had – and Glassboro and Clayton are very close community, as you're aware. And, you know, cousins were playing against cousins. Heck, I think we had a brother playing against a brother on the team, other teams and everyone, you know. But again, it's just you never with that many sheer amount of people. It's like you're just worried about the safety part. But again, great night, great game, and even better because we won and went to the finals that year.
When you're athletic director and you're coaching, does coaching become more of an escape when you're the AD because you're so wrapped up in things that aren't coaching, like you're worried about transportation, security, food, all these things. And then you get to coach. Does the coaching become even more rewarding because it's like this outlet into the thing you're really passionate about and away from the paperwork and stuff like that?
No doubt about it. I mean, that wrestling room was my sanctuary. I would coach wrestling, and I really just got to give accolades to like Bill Washington, who was there for years, like was like kind of helped me all through those winters. Like he was my go-to guy, you know, things are going on, you know, in the winter and he would help cover some games. And my coaches were excellent in helping me being able to coach wrestling at the same time doing this and setting the schedule up. I always set up so that I was still on site no matter what, maybe in a back practice room or something. And if something occurred, something happened, I was always in and out paying the officials, making sure my face was seen, greeting the coaches. You know, I'm in a wrestling shoes and wrestling workout gear, but walking in that room, it is a sanctuary. Like even if I get that hour straight of just kind of going at it with the kids, getting after, getting, you know, pushing them, getting the practice going, that kind of stuff. So it is a sanctuary, but also, I mean, I'll be honest with you, every second, every moment's like, all right, I got to get back over here. I got to make sure the ticket's set up. I got to get the ticket table, make sure everything's here. Make sure all my staff's in place. All right, is the officer here yet? Has the officials arrived for the 7 o'clock game yet? Where, you know, so it is a sanctuary, but there's always a lot of things going on. So I really have to thank, like, the opportunity to do that. My coaches were just, they were amazing with it. And like having, you know, Bill there was just a huge help.
Time for another break. We will continue our conversation with Dan Antonelli coming up. But right now, I want to remind you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Proud sponsor of the KYW News Radio Studios. Bring on the fun and bring home a new Honda with a great deal on your favorite Honda vehicles. And finally, take that road trip you've been dreaming of. Now's the time to check out the Honda Civic and HRV from Honda, the 2025 Kelley Blue Books KBB.com best value brand. Now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with the just retired athletic director of Clayton High School in South Jersey, Dan Antonelli. Talked about the outsized success, and I want to give people context because you've had state champions at Clayton softball, in track, to go along with the success you guys had in wrestling. What am I missing from a state championship standpoint that's run through
girls' soccer sectional titles, which was nice. Chris Baker did that. who we won't talk about, Chris, because he's an athletic director at Audubon now. But I almost got like an athletic director tree, just to let you know. You know, there's coaching trees out there, and now there's an AD tree coming. You know, we had Deb Gelson was at Triton last year, Chris Baker at Audubon, Doug Fogland's down at Buna. They're all coaches for me. So it's like an AD tree coming out of Clayton. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but like why? Yeah. It's obviously a big credit to you. It's obviously a big credit to the coaches. But I want to give people context. Like, the average class that comes through Clayton High School is between 80 and 100.
You're spot on.
I had 88 in my class when I graduated in 92. Yeah. That's like really small. I mean, I had Joe Moore on the podcast when he after all the softball success. And he was doing that with like 12 kids. Like, this is not, you know, it's really amazing. What is it? What is the secret sauce about Clayton that you're able to have that type of athletic success with that small a pool of kids to pick from and maintain the quality of coaching? You know, and it's one thing if Clayton was just really good at wrestling and that was just kind of their thing. But the success is so widespread in the school district. You know, I don't want to blow smoke too much, but it's obviously a big credit to you. But what else? What works that Clayton is so good at so many things?
I think it's also you get this special group of kids sometimes, those classes coming through. You get those athletes. And I go back and I always revert back to my coaches. I mean, we won the boys' state title for track. I mean, that one spring we won a boys' state title, girls' state title. And softball, we won three state titles in a spring season, which was, I mean, three different sports, same season is like almost impossible to hear from a Group One school. And no other Group One school has done that in the state of New Jersey ever, you know, in the same season, winning three state titles. And it just, again, my coaches at that time, like Manny Perdue with the gun. And then Mike Placco, all the success he's had with track, and you can't leave out like, man, home Fred Sharp is all the work he's done because he's just been a heaven sent to us, what he's done with some kids. You know, he's just unbelievable coach. And then, you know, Joe Moore and what he did with the softball girls, and you can't, Joe, you had a great pitching coach with John there, and then you had Tracy, and then you had Nancy, like, you know, it's like, it was just, it was special time. It was, but these kids buy into it. I think, my coaches are, they can coach anywhere. I mean, like, people are like, oh, yeah, just coaching at Clayton. You know, I'm like, my coaches can coach with the best of them anytime. They put the work in, day out. They do their homework. You know, they do everything. Joe watches, was watching film forever. Frank Rago watches more basketball film than I think any coach in the state of New Jersey or boys coach. And Frank's won a sectional title and has had a lot of success there. But like the time that they put in, you know, and I always tell everyone, my coaches can coach anywhere. They choose to stay here. I said, because I try to support them as much as I can and make life good for them there. I try to make it good. And the kids are the secret in the community is because our kids, they'll do more than one sport. You know, the specialization, and as we go more and more, these kids are just playing soccer year round. Or they're doing this year, basketball year round. Or, no, I can't do this. I'm going to do this year round. I'm like, no. I said, you can't. First of all, you're going to tear something because of overuse injury. Doing the same thing. It's a medical fact. Just look it up, people. You do the same thing every time. The same cutting, the same angle, saying that you're going to tear something, you know. And, you know, Urban Meyer from Ohio State, when he coached there, I always had things on the thing. In the USA Women's Girls Soccer Program, I always posted these things all over our school. They always did multiple sports. Urban Meyer would only recruit multiple sport athletes at Ohio State. You know, the ladies soccer, U.S. women's team, when they won the gold, they had all kinds of stuff with them. Carly Louie talked about how she played three sports at Delran. You know, these other girls, how Megan Rapp, you know, how she played two to three sports, how they did everything. They did different things because of it. You need to get involved and do things. Your body needs to do things differently, and it helped them in their sport. I think the key is though, getting our kids to do more than one, our athletes, is really big, and it has to happen. If it doesn't happen, we don't have any success. We don't. Yeah, not at all.
In a way, does the smallness of the school help with that success from a chemistry standpoint? Because these kids all know each other. They're so well. Now, I'm sure that go in, you know, the wrong way because you get tired of each. But if there's something special, once again, as someone who came up through this school, you're with the same people for the most part in your classes, in lunch, in gym, whatever sport you're playing. Like, there is a closeness that comes at a school like Clayton from a size wise that you just can't kind of get at most places just simply because of the numbers.
It does help. The chemistry does help. I think it helps them when they push each other a little bit more. They know each other. They can get on each other a little bit more. They can, you know, the chemistry does help. You know, as a coach, we love to have a couple more kids because, you know, it's you do your best coaching at Clayton. I'm telling you right now, if you can coach at Clayton, I think you can coach anywhere because you take a coach who has 70 kids in a program and has a B, C, and D in case something happens to A, where at Clayton, you don't have B, C, and D waiting in the wings. If something happens to A, then you're moving A8 to A and moving this piece here and you're moving that piece there and you're covering up another piece somewhere on a court or on a field to put your team out there to be the most competitive it can be, you know? So it's like, that's the coaching jobs that, you know, I think that my coaches do, that the jobs they do that makes them special. It really is. I think makes them that you're a good coach, your coaching success have more, you know, effectiveness with that, moving that around. We like to have some more kids, but being small is nice chemistry wise. It is because the kids really root for each other and they pull for each other.
The fields are named for you. As you pull up, because whenever I pick up my son Spence, you go right past the Dan Antonelli Athletic Field sign. Like, what does that mean to you to have made that type of an impact where they want your name connected to the school forever?
That was special. It was a special day. It really was. I, you know, never expected anything like that at all. Cleve Bryan, I think, was a big integral part of pushing it in. And he was a man that really brought Clayton forward academically, athletically. He, you know, as principal and then as superintendent for years, the man had a vision. And I think that's the key. Having these visions is what keeps taking it and making the next steps, you know, and opening things up. And this guy really took it to the next level. Clee did. And so it was a very special day. I very touched by it. And do I feel like that I deserved it or something like that? I'm like, no, not at all. You know, I was getting phone calls actually, you know, weeks later to see if I was still alive because they thought something happened to me where they put the field down. But I was very surprised. You know, I mean, I was just doing my job. You know, we were doing a huge thing. I had trying to get the fields done, lay them out the right way, and, you know, trying to add the all-weather track and all this stuff. Just I thought I was just doing my job, doing anything. But, you know, it came with a lawnmower too, so I had to cut the fields too. So I did that in the summers.
And going along with that, at the end of this school year, I saw the video, basically all the kids lined up and gave you a parade. You were grandmaster of the one golf cart parade and kids wanted to hug you. Like the kids just wanted to be a part of it. Kind of building off of that, like how emotional and special is that to have a moment like that with the kids that you helped grow up?
You're not going to make me cry now. What was that Jerry Maguire movie? You're not going to make me cry, Carrie. So it's very special. Like every day people say, what are you going to miss? I mean, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to miss the kids. The kids are, you know, that's what, like, a school's there. We're teachers. We're educators. It's just a school with just bricks. The kids make the school. This is what they are. Our job is to come in and support them, help them along the way, help them figure it out. And we, you know, society's changed so much and teachers have evolved. Educators has really evolved in helping these kids out, you know, with the world because it's changing. These kids are growing up way too fast, too quickly these days. So just, I think, evolving with them. But I'm going to miss the kids. You know, I think when you see something like that, it's like then you start to think about, wow, I really, you know, these kids, you do have an effect on some of these kids, you know, how you affect them. You don't think so because you think you're just doing what you need to do. It's the right thing to do. You know, I think this is the right thing to do at all times. You know, you don't think about, oh, how am I going to help this kid out today and make sure I have an impact on this kid? You just go there and just be a good person, be a good educator, and just help the kids out and just listen to them. And there's a lot of great people there at Clayton, you know, educationally in the building there that's going to do a lot of good things, keep going for those kids.
We haven't talked about, you mentioned you spent several years coaching wrestling at RCSJ. Overall, what was that experience like, and how much of a goal was it for you to coach college wrestling, or was that simply the opportunity? Because you were done coaching wrestling at Clayton, so were you just kind of itching to coach again, and it was kind of the right opportunity at the right time with the right person?
So I gave up coaching wrestling at Clayton. I stepped down. My son was running indoor track. He was a runner over at Delsey. He was running a high, very high level, and we were taking him up and down the East Coast. I was missing his stuff. I'm like, you know what? I miss a lot of things throughout the years with my kids being at Clayton 24/7, you know, so I was like, I really didn't want to miss those couple of years of those things. So I enjoyed it. It was great. I had opportunity to go watch him run, go take him up and down the coast. You know, he ran, you know, at a high level, and it was great. It was, I would never, you know, and you know, as much as I miss, it was hard to step away from the program. And it was the right time. I had great people in place. Frank Damage was unbelievable. You know, we had a great time coaching together. I knew putting it in his hands it just keep rolling. And it did. That's what he did. He did his thing. And then my son got done, and then like Rowan reached out to me. I got a phone call from Brian Rowan. You know, he reached out. He goes, "Hey, you know, what are you doing?" He goes, "Not coaching wrestling anymore." I'm like, "No, just helping out." At that point, I was just back helping a little bit at the high school. And he goes, "We have an opening here. They've been struggling with numbers, struggling the program." He goes, "We just need someone to come in and just try to help get this program back on its feet." I was never really – I had aspirations to coach next level wrestling, college level, you know, that kind of stuff. So I said – but again, went home, talked with my wife, and she gave me the okay. I didn't really know how I was going to work it out with my job as assistant principal, athletic director. I had to be there for games. I mean, you know, that was first. So I met with Brian. I kind of mapped out a strategy because they start early. We started in October, which November is not bad because it was a little downtime until, you know, you get started for in my position, which was good. But, you know, then was during that winter season, which was crazy, you know, so – we did map out things, so I would be at Clayton at 7 a.m. in the morning. I'd be done my games by 7:15. I'd be in the practice room at Rowan by 7:30, and the kids would be there 7:30 to 9:30 usually practicing. And the kids bought into it. It was a great opportunity. I figured, why not give it a shot? I always want to work at the collegiate level athletically. I think one of my aspirations and goals as I started getting later in my career. Thinking, okay, maybe I move into a collegiate level, you know, love to do something associate athletic director or just work with the teams or do something in the athletic office, which, you know, anyone out there and hears this, I'm still interested. Got some time in my hands coming up. So that's something I maybe start pursuing some in different areas with that. But I started recruiting. We had a good recruiting class. that first class, I grabbed some kids who haven't wrestled for a couple of years who I've coached against, who I know were really good in other schools, programs, that kind of stuff. And you know, we went from having five kids on the team to I finished my first season with 22. So they were very happy with that. We won our zones, that kind of stuff. That year, we won the districts. And next year, I had two All-Americans. The travel was crazy. I mean, I was getting on the bus Saturday morning, coming back Sunday night, and then getting right back at it with my job. So it was very difficult to manage with the job, but I really enjoyed it. Again, made a lot of good friends with those collegiate kids, you know. Talk to a lot of them still now. Best part is right now, two of the kids that wrestle for me are now back at the program coaching, and probably one of them will be taking it over in a year or two. So that's kind of, you know, so it worked out really well there too. I couldn't ask for anything else. And when COVID hit, it got real hard. You know, we're still running things, that kind of, and it just got to a point where I was exhausting myself at both ends. And I talked to Brian, I just can't return. I said, I would love to just do this full time. Hey, you guys got a full time job for me there. I'm in right now, you know, but of course COVID closed a lot of doors with any opportunities with, financially. So I was thankful for the opportunity. It was a great time. Met a lot of great people there, who works at the college. Had a lot of support from them, so I enjoyed it thoroughly.
So much of our conversation has been talking about all these different things you've done, and you've kind of referenced like the frantic schedule, being away for weekends, doing RCSJ, and then being at the school till 7:30 and stuff like that. With your plate kind of cleaned for the moment now, do you think you're going to get antsy? Do you think you're going to have to funnel yourself into something? Like, do you have a hobby or something right now?
So no doubt at all, I'm going to get antsy. I'm already starting to think a little bit. So I'm already working with driving to school, getting my individual license so I can drive with them on the side. Like I said, I was offered a position, but I don't think I was ready to go back full into it yet. I officiate wrestling in the winter, so I'm going to do some summer things lined up, coming up. They reached out to me about some tournaments. I work merchandise on the side also, concerts and venues down in casinos, that kind of stuff with a couple companies. So I got about 8 to 10 of those jobs coming up next month. So, you know, I'm staying busy, but yeah, I'm definitely going to be antsy. There's no doubt about it. Like, September hits, and I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, so we'll see. And then, you know, I got an offer about working at a sporting goods store, which I always wanted to own my own Antonelli Athletics. That was my dream. That was my dream. That was my aspirations, to own Antonelli Athletics Sporting Goods. That's what I always wanted to do in life, you know? So I got a chance to maybe work for a guy to go do some things because he goes, I can't buy your contacts, and go out there and just kind of be like, you know, a salesman, get out there, get out and still in the athletic world. So a couple different things going on that I have options for right now, but things that like I can always set my schedule for right now. I think that's what I want to do.
And my final question, what do you hope anyone that came in contact with you during more than three decades at Clayton, whatever role they dealt with you, what do you hope is their takeaway from their experience with you?
I hope that they understand that, you know, that I'm always here and I wasn't always just there for them at that point in time, but always here to help and support. And I wanted to push them to things that they don't think they could achieve, get them to believe in themselves a little bit more, setting higher goals, setting new goals for them as they move on in life. Because I always try to tell the kids, hey, listen, like at graduation, you're done now. This is just a new chapter now. You got to set new goals. You can't just flounder. You're going to figure it out and you don't have to have a plan and it's scary. Also understand that, you know, try to give them those aspirations of like, hey, you know, I got to write things down on paper. What do I want to achieve? What do I want to do? And give them the kind of direction and a force to go get it done. And that I'm always here to help and support. You know, that's kind of what I believe is a job in education is, you know, we're there for the children. You know, that's, they're there to get an education, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and that's great and all, but they're molded in that school a lot through the, you know, and with the parents' help, parents doing it, but we assist and I think, and helping them along the way, like that's what we have to be there for. And I think that's job one, if you ask me, in education is, you know, to listen to these kids and help them out and help them be successful, believing in themselves.
Dan Antonelli, thanks so much for coming in. This was great.
Thank you, Matt.
That will do it for this edition of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Dan Antonelli, who just retired as the athletic director at Clayton High School in South Jersey, for coming in studio and being our guest this week. Now, if you like this show and you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. It would really help us out. You can follow the show on X at @OneOnOnePod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next time when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.